Welcome to Garden of Eden Ministries. You are welcome here. Our ministry is an online ministry focusing on strengthening the church to finish her end-time mission. We accomplish this through prayer calls Monday through Wednesday at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. You can call 516-387-8263. We also have Bible study with Dr. June Knight Weir on Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time. We are studying the Book of Revelation. You can watch it on our website at www.gom.us. Do you want trustworthy Christian news? Then follow Dr. June on Patreon. She has video archives for over 5 years for you to research. Do you need counseling? Do you need guidance through these rough times? Then text our office at 731-733-0532 or email at info@gom.us. Thank you for being with us today. God bless.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I pray everybody's doing well out there. We're going to go ahead and continue. This is actually part two to Revelation chapter 9. So as we left off yesterday, let me go to this screen over here. We kind of got off on a little rabbit trail and went on to explaining Elon in Memphis. Now, the reason we did that is because of what we was learning in the previous scripture. And this is where we left off. They had tails like scorpions, and they were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is the truth. And we thank you, Lord, that your word says that when we study this book, Lord, that we will be blessed. And Lord, we thank you, just like we asked you and from day one, to bring this book to life. And we're asking that today. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we talked about the beast plan and what I was telling you about my conversation with my son. And he was telling me, he's like, man, this is like the kingdom of darkness. This is like their playbook right here. And it really is because, you know, I was able to go to Memphis and see this and show you guys how there's four facilities down there and what they do with it and all that stuff. So now let's go ahead and go to the next scripture in verse 11. This is still the fifth trumpet. And they had a king over them. Okay, now, this is the reason I told you guys about Elon. This is the reason. It's because when it said it had a king, I remembered what my son said about, the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness. Because there really is, you got Satan. Then you got the principalities and the powers of the air, and then you got demons. So it's like a hierarchy. And if y'all have ever seen that movie, let me see if I can show you this preview here. What is the name of this movie? Help me, Holy Spirit. What is the name of that? Oh, I've got it on the tip of my tongue. It has to do with witchcraft. Help me, Lord. It comes on PureFlix is the one that has divination. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay. Divination movie. Okay, so here it is. The movie's called Divination. Oh, look at the creatures up there. I did not even know they had this on there. There is the locust. Look at that. Just like the way it's described in the book of Revelation. Look at this. What a farce. Well, there it is. The demon locust. Anyway, let's go back over here. You know, they go around and sting everybody. Okay, so this is the movie It's called divination. And they say it's an awful movie, but I don't think so. For Christians, I think it's a really good movie because it shows the supernatural forces. It shows how, I'll try to show you a commercial here. What? They got the whole movie on here? What? No, let's look at Divination trailer. Okay, here we go.
Honey, what's wrong?
Mushrooms are back.
Same ones.
Yeah. I keep seeing you in danger, but I can't do anything.
Yesterday, he started seeing things when he was awake. Jess, it isn't just real. It's more real than the physical realm. There's invisible forces around us all the time. Some people can tap into it and change things. You have that gift.
Okay, so basically you get the idea. Okay, so the idea, well, you actually don't get it here, but there is a hierarchy in the satanic world. So like demons, like say, the way Dr. Morris describes it is through a carrot. And he says, let me show you over here. Let me just put a carrot up here. Okay. Let's say you have a root of bitterness. No, here's a better one. Here's a better one. Okay, let's say you have a root of bitterness. Okay, all of these other branches that come out and express itself as demons. So through the root of bitterness, through this deep-seated anger that's never been dealt with, there's consequences. Just like he says when you get tattoos, same thing. And there's consequences. So these demons that come out of these leaves, per se, is like lying, stealing, yada, yada, you know, just different sins. But they're different demons, okay? So if you can pick like this green, if you can picture the greenery here, is the lower order of demons. These are like your everyday, try to get people to lie, and, you know, all this. But they stem from a much deeper rooted issue. Okay, so the point is that there is a hierarchy. There's demons that answer to other demons. There's the chief demon, you know, it kind of goes up a corporate, you know, type of deal. So anyways, when it says here they had a king over them, let's highlight this, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Wow, there's actually an angel over the bottomless pit whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Wait a minute. I'm totally creeped out over here. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Isn't this what President Trump has in his house? I mean, seriously. I'm going to have to go look. I think it is. I think having to do with Apollyon is that goal. Does President Trump have Apollyon? Let me see how you spell it. A-P-O-L-L-Y-O-N. A-P-O-L-L-Y-O-N. Okay. Here we go. Donald Trump's Manhattan penthouse is Trump Tower, features classical mythological art, including a painting on the ceiling depicting Apollo in his chariot. and a statue of Eros in sight. There is no evidence of a literal statue or figure of Apollyon the Destroyer in Revelation 9:11 on his roof, though some online theories metaphorically interpret the mythological art. See, that's what I was thinking. Apollo in his chariot. Okay, here's. See? Apollo. Okay. See, here's another way. You gotta ask the right question. Here we go. Apollyon and Apollo, which it said, you know, that he does have that in his tower. Okay. Are distinct figures, one in a biblical demonic destroyer, the other a Greek Olympian god. But they are closely linked through linguistic wordplay and ancient symbolism. Apollyon, Abaddon, is the angel of the abyss in Revelation 9:11, while Apollo is the god of music, prophecy, and plague. In Revelation, Apollyon is termed the destroyer with the Greek name Apollyon, serving as a deliberate, ominous play on Apollo. This likely signals that the demonic forces in Revelation are meant to evoke the pagan Roman imperial cult, which worshipped imperiors who identified with Apollo. Symbolism, locust, associated with Apollyon's plague in Revelation, were a symbolic emblem of the god Apollo. While some, such as Ian, argue against a direct link, others note that the Greek etymology often associated the name Apollo with the verb apollomai, meaning to destroy. Apollo was a multifaceted Greek deity, light, healing, and arts, whereas Apollyon is strictly a personification of destruction and demonic power. Okay, so, but, wow, something just hit my eyeball. In essence, the use of Apollyon likely served as a theological indictment, equating the destructive nature of the destroyer with the pagan god Apollo worshipped by the Roman Empire. Are Apollyon and Abaddon and Apollo the same? Okay. Sorry, something just hit my eyeball. Okay, I wouldn't say that they're the same by any means, but it also seems totally plausible that one myth could influence the other. We know that there was cultural religious exchange between the ancient Greek Roman pagan world and the Abrahamic world, and there are some notable similarities between the two figures. They both have a connection to locusts. They are both associated with the Greek word apollomai, to destroy. Abaddon or Apollyon is said to be the king of an army of locusts. And I found one reference to Apollo as Parnopian, the locust god. This could be extended more generally to an association with a plague. Okay, so now I'm getting a picture here. Okay, so let's go back over here. Because what I'm going to put on here is, okay, let's go back to our drawing. What we saw, like these are the little demons, you know, the locust, okay? But these are like my little version. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this. And we're going to put this over here. Okay, so we're going to get rid of one, but we're going to make this much bigger. Okay, so this one, which we didn't add the wings and all the other stuff we go with it, so it probably is not appropriate here, but we're going to put him as the king. And then we're going to go ahead and put our fire on here. Since he is the angel of the bottomless pit. Okay, let's go ahead and type in here Apollyon and see what graphics they have for Apollyon. Nothing. How about Apollo? There we go. So let's go ahead and put this up here. He's kind of like the king. All right, let's go to the next verse. When one woe is past, and behold, there comes two woes mere after. This is more of a warning because we just basically finished the fifth trumpet. So let's put this down as warning, warning. All right, let's put this up here, warning. And then we will put this little light up here. They're mowing the grass out here, so just forgive them. Okay, so it's saying, in other words, get ready. Okay, so basically we're on 9 verse 12. So let's go over here to Revelation. And let's go down here to verse 12. When one woe is past, and behold, there comes two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Oh, bride. Oh, man. Oh, remember I was telling you about the tabernacle. Let me get this on the screen. See these four horns right here? Y'all can't see my mouse, but where it has the altar, where they've got the sacrifice with the smoke, that is the four horns of the altar. See, back in those days, whenever they sacrificed something, there was certain ways that you had to do things back then with different animals, on different sides of the altar, how the blood ran down. I mean, it's really a very complicated thing, which I don't know how the Levites did it, you know, how they kept up with all the meticulous, you know, rules that God had about all the different animals. But when it says the four horns of the altar, I think about this. And then I do want to remind you guys that when I was in Washington, D.C., and being that a prophet went to go pray over the two, Masonic lodges, we prayed over the George Washington one, which was in the town where I lived, which was Alexandria, Virginia. And that's the one that has like the 33-story, it looks like they're trying to make a Jacob's ladder, but it's like a pyramid on top of it. And then we went to the 33rd degree Scottish Rite. Well, what I noticed about the building of the Scottish Rite, which we know that the Masons is like a demonic organization today. And when they get to certain levels, then they discover they're actually worshiping the false light, you know, which is Lucifer. So at this facility, right on top of it, it looks like an altar like this. It has four corners built just like this. And I had this thought while I was there. This is their altar. What do these people do before they take that 33rd degree? Because that's where they all go, is to DC, to get that highest degree. That's where they go. And then when it says the Scottish Rite, they have to do the Scottish Rite. And whatever that is, I don't know. But you can't make it up that it actually has like an altar at the top of it. You know, just weird. That would look like an altar. And the fact that it's a 33rd degree type of deal. Okay, so let's look at this. Now that you know what it has to do with the temple, let's go back over here. Okay, so, and the sixth angel sound. So this is the sixth trumpet. So let's get our angel up here. Where did our angel go? There we go. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar. So let's put the altar up here. I don't even know if they'd have one on here. See if they got one in pictures, maybe. Let me see. How about this? Let's put in tabernacle altar. There we go, maybe. Maybe Old Testament altar. There we go. But it don't have the horns on it. There we go. It's got two horns. At least. Now we're getting closer. Okay, I guess we'll just put this cheesy one up here with two horns. All right. Isn't it funny that there was a voice spoken from the four horns of the golden altar? Let's put it in the middle. And it also specifically says that it is before God. Oh, y'all don't see the screen. Okay, sorry. And it says that it is before God. Remember when we was talking about, you know, what it looks like in heaven? Let me get this scene up here. You know, we was talking about the incense that goes before God and... you know, the different scenes. I can't hardly see here. Here we go. This is the one with the elders. But there is an altar before God. And it's the one that gave John, you know, the coals on his lips, remember? And it comes from that altar. Okay, now let's go over here. I can get this off screen here. There we go. Okay, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet. Oh, okay, okay. So the altar is talking to the angel, which had the trumpet. Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Oh, boy, this is already scaring me. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Who are these four angels? Okay, so let's put in a river. Okay. Loose the four angels. Okay, so let's go back over here and get this angel. Let's go ahead and copy this and copy this. I guess it don't work that way. Hold on. Okay. put it over here. And then what we'll do is copy this four times. Four, okay. So there's four angels, boy. Well, wait a minute. That are bound in the great river Euphrates. Huh, that's very interesting. Because you know what? When I was in Detroit, Michigan. Let's move the altar over here. When I was in Detroit, Michigan, they talked about some of the people there that I interviewed told me that they felt like, now, of course, they was talking about demons, which these may be talking about demons here. They were in the water there. You know, at first I thought it was sounded kind of crazy. You know what I mean? But these angels were bound in the great river Euphrates. Isn't that something? I'm going to have to look at something. What happened to bind? According to Revelation 9:14-15, four malevolent angels are bound. Okay, so it is demons. Bound at the Euphrates River, imprisoned there by God for prior rebellion. Huh. They are scheduled to be released during the end times tribulation to command a demonic army, killing one-third of humanity as part of divine judgment. The Euphrates is a historic, symbolic boundary of the Promised Land. Wow. And the site of early human rebellion at Babylon and Babel. They are widely interpreted as high-ranking fallen spirits or angels of punishment, not merely demonic locusts, but specifically demonic authorities. They are prepared for a specific hour, day, month, and year of divine appointment. Their release is initiated by the sounding of the sixth trumpet to execute unprecedented destruction on earth, often linked to the drying of the Euphrates. Some interpretations suggest that these are the same angels of punishment found in Enoch 56, which attack Israel from the east, and that they were bound during the flood. Huh, very interesting. So these are not really good angels. Let's put this back over here. We got to find us some evil looking angels. Let's get these off here. Because these are demons. Basically, okay, like we say, you know, the principalities and the powers of the air. This is kind of like what these are. Let's see, fallen angel. There we go. Good visual right there. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, very good visual. There you go. Okay, so now we have a visual. All right, so let's go over to verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay a third part of men. Just like what we read in that commentary, they are chained for a certain time period. And this is the time period that we're reading about. They probably down there, they probably know too, you know, that there's coming a time they're going to be leased to get their revenge upon man, you know. Okay, so let's see. The four angels were loosed. Don't y'all find this so interesting? Which were prepared for an hour, day, and a month. I'll put that in italics. And a year. They're prepared for a certain time to slay the third part of man. So sad, isn't it? So sad. Okay, so what we're going to do then is we're going to change this background. We're going to change it to black. Okay. And then we're going to change these colors here. Because the black represents, you know, when these guys are released. These entities, rather. All right, and then let's change this angel to white. Okay. Now, and the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, to slay the third part of man. So let's put a crowd. What a sad day this is going to be, huh? Such a sad day. And then let's put a big sword out there because swords represent slay. Okay, so let's put a sword out here. And what we'll do is just kind of put the sword through here. Okay, let's go to the next verse. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. Wow. So they basically do command an army. Basically. So now you've got an army of demons that's loose to go out and kill people. Man. Army of the horsemen. Let's do army on horse. I mean, you just can't imagine, you know, really how many this is. It's terrible. Let me go over here and get this real quick. So who would have thought, you know, 200,000. Let's make that red. I mean, how bad this is going to be, you know, for the third. Let's put that third up there again. There's that third again. So sad for society, but this is the judgment, see? Let's go to the next verse. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone. Oh, ooh, I've got a visual in my head. Oh, gross, man. Oh, these are the ones from hell. Oh, these are from hell. Oh, man. You know, like we saw on that visual yesterday, how ugly them locusts was that, you know, this AI had created of what they're going to look like. Can you imagine how evil these things really are going to look that is coming from hell to torture the people in the earth that took the mark of the beast. I mean, how terrible is this? All right, so let's copy this. This is so terrible. And let's copy one of these. Okay, so let's see what this says again. Move this over here. And I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire. Okay, so let's make that red. And let's go back to our design here and find our fire. Let's take this off here. All right. Breastplates of fire. It's almost like hell is riding around, you know? You know, this is what they're carrying as a breastplate. And of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses. Okay, let's just take the jacinth and brimstone. Okay, let's see what that is. What is jacinth? It must be some kind of... Okay, jacinth is a transparent reddish orange to yellow brown variety of the mineral zircon. Historically used as a gemstone, known for its high brilliance, it's a rare hard stone favored in ancient jewelry and notably listed as one of the foundation stones in the Book of Revelation. A gem quality with a hardness, okay, ranges from deep red to orange or yellow brown. And precious stone in ancient Egypt and mentioned in the Old Testament as one of the stones in Aaron's breastplate. No kidding. In the Middle Ages, it was believed to provide protection against plague, disease, and injuries and was used to promote sleep and happiness. While less common in modern jewelry, it is used in crystal healing to represent the sacral root chakras. Wow, farce. The name is closely tied to hyacinth, often interchangeably with historical texts. All right, so let's look at some of these images here. So let's see if... And this is on the breastplate. So it's kind of like they're the priests from hell. Is the way I'm seeing this. Let's see, jacinth. Oh, come on now. Come on. They're going to give us a flower, a jacinth flower. Here we go, jacinth rock. I could look like it, kind of. Let's put these on the breastplate. Because remember the Levites, that's how they looked, see? The Levites were all decked out, you know, their breastplates and stuff. So we will put this on here as well. Let's copy this two more times. And put them on here, on their breastplate. All right, and then we have brimstone. Now, brimstone I see is kind of like ash. Let's see. Sulfur, used in magic to prevent a hex from taking hold or destroying enemy's power over you. Look what it looks like, yellow. Brimstone is an ancient word for sulfur. Fire and brimstone. Satan has a Weebly account. What a farce. We definitely don't want to go in there. Okay, so let's go back over here and type in brimstone. See what it has. Well, that could look like it. We'll just put it over here. Okay. And then copy twice. And put up here. And put up here. All right. Now, what I'm going to do over here is I'm going to try to move this, make it a little smaller. And then I'd like to make these fellas bigger. Just group them. There we go. So that way we can kind of see the design here. Put that in the middle. Okay. And the heads of the horses, whereas the heads of lions. Oh, Lord. Here we go with that creepy stuff again. Oh. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Oh, gross. It is like priests from hell. Because they're like, I see it kind of like a fire-breathing dragon. Don't you? Let's see if we can get that kind of fire example. Here we go. Well, first we got to get the lion head. Heads, let's see. Where's the heads of lions? So let's do a lion head. But we've got to get a angry looking lion. Not a mega. That's a mega. Let's get us some. There we go. All right. So let's put these heads on there. Make this a little smaller. Okay. Copy this and copy. And put it on there. Put that on there. And then let's put the fire that is blazing out of their mouth. So let's do a position to the front. There we go. Copy twice. Isn't that creepy looking? Man. Oh, we need some smoke. All right, let's see. Smoke. Let's do that to the back. And then we want to copy that twice. There we go. And then this one, do the same thing. Okay. Very good. Wow. I see this as the horses coming out of hell. And they're like the priest. The ones on the top are like chief in the army of hell. And they're like, these lions are kind of like shooting their vomit, you know, upon these people with their fire and brimstone. You know, when you think of the way Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, you know, there was a lot of fire and brimstone rained down. Okay, let's go to the next verse. By these three were the third part of man killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. See? So let's go ahead and we'll just copy this. And then we'll change the words over here. And make these. Okay. Okay. Third part of men killed. So let's go ahead and we're going to put the third over there, which we have right here. Let's copy that and put that over here. And we'll put it up here. And by fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone. I'm telling you guys, I just have a vision in my head, which I don't even know if we'd want to watch an example of this one, you know? Let's go over here to our man, or the crowd. I guess we could do the crowd again. Down here. And the sword. But really, no, not the sword. We just need to put the fire over them. It's sad. See, so sad. And then the smoke that goes with it, we can put behind it. That's sad, isn't it? So sad. So there you go. Isn't that sad? A third of man burned up like that. It's like instead of even going to hell, man, they're just experiencing hell right there on the earth. Do y'all remember the story of Korah? What happened in the Old Testament? Let me get this visual up here real quick. See all these tents around here? Those are the tribes of Israel. There's this guy that was coming against Moses and his authority. And his name was Korah. And he gathered, I think it was a third of the men against Moses. And he was complaining to Moses, like, who are you to be our boss? Who gives you the authority to be our boss? You know? And so this is the saddest story, because inside this temple, God reigns in the Holy of Holies. Okay. Mm-hmm. So God never comes out to the outer courts. Okay. The outer courts is where you see these curtains in the front. All of this where you see the altar and the men stand, that's the outer courts. Going inside this tented place is the Holy of Holies. Well, there's a front room, and then you go to the back of it's the Holy of Holies where you have the Ark of the Covenant and all that. But anyway, God, Korah was at the front of this tent up here where these fabrics are. And he was up there with these men arguing with Moses, you know, that he was trying to boss everybody around and whatnot. So he was bucking Moses' authority. So Moses went in back here and talked to God about it. Man, you don't even want to know what happened when God found out what they did to Moses. Wow. God come out of the Holy of Holies. I get chills right now just thinking about it. Because when you know what they had to do to go into the Holy of Holies, I mean, if you had any sin in your life, you were killed over dead. Remember how they was when they carried the Ark of the Covenant and they dropped it? It would just, those people would die, you see what I mean? It's very detrimental to your life to get near God, you know, in these days. So God got so mad at Korah that he come out of the Holy of Holies and he come out and spoke judgment to them. And you know what happened? What happened is the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and all of his third of the people in the earth alive and took them to hell. That's one of the reasons I believe hell is in the middle of the earth. But it swallowed them up. And it says, even them that were in the tents, anybody that partnered with this rebellious Korah got swallowed up by the earth instantly from the judgment of God. And they went to hell alive. Can you imagine? Yeah, it took God. So he came out and he took care of them complainers about his authority. But when I see this, you know, this, what they're doing to these people, I kind of see that, you know, that hell, basically in these part of the trumpets, hell has come to the earth. And now hell is there to torture, because what happened with the previous trumpet? We have the locust where they sting them for 5 months and they get tortured. And then in this case, they're burning them alive. It's really sad, isn't it? It's really sad. Let's go to the next verse. Okay. By these were a third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents and their had heads, and with them they do hurt. Isn't that something, that these horses had tails like unto serpents? We didn't even know that. Now we got to go back here and do another visual. Okay, now let's go ahead and put this on here. Because isn't it something that in the book of Revelation, like, it adds characteristics of these angels and stuff kind of later. It's kind of like adds on to the, to me, since I'm a writer, it adds on to the dramatic effect, you know. For you to get everybody all engulfed in how they're killing a third of the earth, and then on the next scripture you want to add, oh, and they also had tails of serpents, you know. It's like, ugh, you know, creep me out. I've already got the vision of this, and now I've got the vision of this. No. Okay, so let's go over here and let's copy this and go over here. Now we got to add this other creepy aspect that we know. Wait a minute. Wait, it did not get all the other aspects. I may have to create a new group. So let's see here. Okay, so let's copy this. I know it took some of the other, but I'll take care of that. And paste. Okay. All right, so now let's ungroup. Oops. Ungroup. And then we can get that out of here. Good. We're missing a fire. Let's go ahead and copy this. Very good. All right, so let's go ahead and kind of put this over here out of the way, because what we're going to do is we're going to make this a group. There we go. That way we always have this graphic. Okay, so for the power is in their mouth. Now, we also noticed from the previous trumpet. Oh, wait, isn't this? Oh, I guess this is the sixth trumpet. I was thinking this is the seventh, isn't it? We learned from the locust that their power was in their mouth, wasn't it? And in their tails. So in both places. For their tails were like serpents. Now, what do we know about the bite of a serpent? And had heads. Oh! Oh, no! Oh, No way. The tails have heads on them. Gross me out. Gross me out. And with them, they do hurt. What do we know? Going back to the serpent thing. What do we know about serpents and how they hurt? The serpents. Let's look this up. How do serpents hurt? Primarily cause harm through bites using sharp teeth for mechanical injury or fangs to inject toxic venom. Venomous bites cause immediate sharp pain, swelling, and potential tissue damage, while neurotoxic venom can cause paralysis. And hemotoxic venom leads to internal bleeding. Oh! Non-venomous bites feel like sharp pinches or scratches. Attacks the nervous system, potentially leading to respiratory failure. Targets the circulatory system, preventing blood clotting and causing internal bleeding. Wow. Some snakes, such as spitting cobras, can shoot venom. Wow. Into eyes or open wounds, causing intense pain and possible blindness. Wow. Look at this. Remember how they said that there was venom in the shot, in the jab? Look at this next sentence. Another effect it can have is nausea, dizziness, sweating, and difficulty breathing. I'm thinking, that sounds kind of like the jab that we know of, you know? Anyway, okay, so let's go back over here. Their tails were like serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Okay, so let's do a serpent tail, if we can get one. Serpent tail. There we go. We'll just kind of do it like that. Here we go. I know what we can do. Let's ungroup this. And let's take two. Oh, this is three, isn't it? I guess let's move it over here. Y'all bear with me just a minute. I told you I should be an instructor for Canva. All right, and let's move. Oh, it won't let you. What a farce. My idea won't work. Okay, so let's put it all back. Okay. I guess I'll just have to. Group it back together. Might as well. Make it smaller and add the effects. Okay. And then we'll have to make this smaller. Okay, there's your snake tail. But then it's got heads on it. I mean, what kind of heads? What the world? Let's see. Demon heads? I don't know how. I don't know how to word it. There we go. We'll just do this just for a dramatic effect. One, two, three. Okay. But let's also put on here a stinger. I see it like a stinger. Well, it says it has fangs. So let's put fangs. Kind of like a vampire. There we go. And they do hurt. And then let's put serpent venom. Let's see what they got here. I hate to put, let's see. Hey, this kind of reminds me of the Vatican, don't it? The building and stuff. All right, let's go back to the next scripture. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. In other words, I see it as well, like, you know, when God revealed himself to the children of Israel, they were down there building a golden calf. You know, they were worshiping, you know, the creation versus the creator. So when I read this, I kind of think of that as well, you know. Okay, so let's break this down. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues yet. Okay, so let's break that down. They were not harmed yet, but they still repented not of the works of their hands. What do you think they mean when it says the works of their hands? And while you're giving your answers, I'm going to look it up. According to Revelation 9:20-21, survivors of divine plagues refused to repent of their evil deeds, continuing to worship demons and man-made idols. They persisted in sins like murder, sorcery, immorality, theft, highlighting a stubborn refusal to turn from their sinful works even after seeing intense judgment. The event occurs during the tribulation where people acknowledge God's power but still refuse to repent. This idiom, work of their hands, refers to idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood. Specifically, they did not repent of their murders, witchcraft, magic, sorcery, sexual immorality, or thefts. It shows a hardness of heart. This passage showcases a profound refusal to repent, despite witnessing the devastation of plagues. This passage serves as a warning about the consequences of rejecting God's mercy, emphasizing the depth of human stubbornness. That's so sad, isn't it? That they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Basically, they're not going to turn against their idolatry. And That is really sad. Okay, let's see some of your answers here. Making idols, yes, Tabitha, yeah. Verse 21 makes you think of our nation's leaders. Amen, sister. Yeah. I'm going to have to make YouTube bigger. My eyes can't see that little print up here. Hold on. I don't see y'all answering that question. I see what you're writing up there, though. Oh, you're right. Oh, Sunshine, thank you. That's right. Whoever you are, she brought up a good point. That is right. I was wrong. I forgot about that. The four horns of the golden altar, the altar of incense, is in the Holy of Holies. True. Yes, you are correct. Yes, you are right. I knew that, especially through my intercessory prayer. Please forgive me. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay, here it is. The four horns, see the horns protruding out of the golden altar, altar of incense in the Bible, were protruding upward pointing projections on the four corners of the altar in the holy place. Yep. Covered in gold, they symbolize. Thank you for getting this off Google, for reminding me. Thank you. Thank you. Covered in gold, they symbolize the divine power and strength in mediation and atonement, serving as a focal point where blood was applied during significant sin offerings and representing a divine response to prayer. Priests applied the blood to these horns during sin offerings. Wait a minute, though. In the holy place. Now, I need an artwork of the temple. Hold on. Actually, we can watch a video on it. I know they've got some good ones now. Temple. Visual. Solomon's Temple 3D. See, that's what I was thinking right there. Lord, we don't want no Mormon temple. What a farce. Here we go. Hold on. Let's do Moses' temple. Here we go. Moses. Thank you. See, that's what I was talking about.
Hey, YouTube, if you want to learn.
There you go. That's. Okay, so let's go back over here. Seeing and representing divine. See, I thought that's where they do the altars. I mean, the sacrifices. Yeah, look, because unlike the brazen altar, bronze altar of sacrifice, which was associated with the shedding of blood on the earth, the golden altar represented Christ's ongoing heavenly ministry. So there you go. When God gave Moses the instructions about building the altar, he outlined how it needed horns at the altar. Okay, so this is the Ark of the Covenant, altar of incense. Candlestick, an altar. That's what I was thinking. Altar of sacrifice. Okay, so there is two different altars then. Entrance and fence and tabernacle. Okay. Make a square altar of bronze covered acacia wood for animal sacrifices. This altar had four corners or horns and set in the courtyard. See, that's what I was thinking it was, which was the purpose of this feature. Okay, the horns of the altar. In Hebrew, this type of altar is called a mitzvah, related to the Hebrew noun zavak for sacrifice and the verb meaning to slaughter. Zavak also means an offering to prepare one for higher purpose. Moses made the altar of incense in Exodus 30 similar to the mitzvah, only it had a gold overlay and set in front of the veil to the Holy of Holies. Although this altar burned incense morning and night, it was still called a mitzvah or a golden or inner altar. Rabbinical writings by Rabbi something explained this incense had the power to slaughter evil powers. The high priest made atonement on its horns once a year in Yom Kippur. After the priest slaughtered the sacrificial animal on the altar, he smeared his blood on all four horns, which is in the outer courts. Psalm 118:27 tells us, the Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. See, from this verse, we can see that they tied the animal down using a rope or cord to hold it in place to slaughter it. This seems barbaric in our day and time, but everything God had them do had significance. The person presenting the lamb or goat as an atonement pushed their hands down as if to crush the animal's head, an act of transferring their sin to the animal. Wow. We see God did this in the following two verses. The four horns which the priest tied to each limb of the lamb was represented Jesus' death on the cross. He was bound to a cross with nails. Oh, man, I didn't know that. that was semblance of that, crushed by his father and his hands and his feet pierced for us. Oh, y'all can't even see it. What a farce. Sorry. The horns of the altar is the crown. Most of us have seen a buck with antlers. The antlers are equivalent to horns. When an 8 or more point antler rack circles the head of a deer, it appears as its crown. The more points a buck has not only represents its age, but adds to its majesty and strength. Aww. Within the tabernacle, Jesus represented the altar sacrifice and the high priest. Showed Moses the pattern from which he would build the tabernacle. The Hebrew word pattern is tanik, which means pattern, form, likeness, or figure. Its action or verbal root is bana, the root word for son. Some believe Yahweh showed Moses the real temple or tabernacle. Jesus while Moses was on the mountain. Huh. Very interesting. Okay, let's get this finished. Let's get this finished. I think we've got one more verse here. Thank you for pointing that out, sister. Thank you. Okay, neither repented they of their murder, their sorceries, their fornication, or of their thefts. And that finishes chapter 9. But the sad thing is, I'm just going to leave this big like this. Because in our day and time, we see the very same thing happening, don't we? And it's like shocking. It's like, can you people not see what is happening in the earth right now? And you still will not repent? You will not see that, you know, God is trying to get your attention? Y'all know what I mean? It's really a sad thing. But we see the very same thing happening together. You know, in our time, we're seeing how they will not repent no matter what. So that's all we have. We officially finished chapter 9, and we will start on chapter 10 tomorrow. And you guys have a wonderful day, and we will see you tonight for the news. God bless.